Welcome everybody to Security Info Watch. This is a long continuing series of industry podcasts. Today we are very fortunate to have Hartmut Schopper, who is the CEO of SAST. And they are a new player in our industry and are looking to bring together a little bit of conformity as far as open operating systems to the video surveillance industry. And it's a very interesting concept, Hartmut. Give me a little background on your technology expertise and how you got involved with the company and what your vision is.
Happy to do so, Steve. My personal background is I come from the software industry. I've worked 12 years in various roles at SAP and the healthcare IT business for Siemens out of the US. So I have a long software industry background, and now I've joined the safety and security industry, which I think is at a fascinating stage. The industry is still highly fragmented. There's a lot of forces at work, faster chips, more networking, and we think that this industry is ripe for change, and that there could be much more innovation in this industry if there would be a more standardized platform available across different manufacturers so that app developers can innovate fast and have a much broader market to go to.
And then really you're taking the computer industry model that's been open for, like say, Google or Microsoft for years, where they have open software and encourage outside people to help with patching and updating apps. So how do you think this will play in this market? Like you said, it's very fragmented. It's still really not as sophisticated as the computer or IT industry. So, what are your initial impressions as you're looking at it and your long-range vision?
I think this industry is ready for change. If you look at it, as I said, computing power is increasing. It's much like the personal computer was introduced, or the smartphone. So a new class of capabilities came in, and then people think about ways to do it. And secondly, I think a major innovation is in software and in artificial intelligence. And a lot of this can be done better on the edge in the cameras or later other IoT devices, because it's much closer to the source of the sensor data. So we think there's the ability to change, and there's a need to change, because many software application developers today, they have to work for a very specific camera, for a very specific setting, so it's very hard for them to innovate, and that's slowing down innovation. And what we plan is to provide an operating system free of charge to the industry, to the members of the industry alliance that was also announced today, and then have an app store where application developers don't have to know what camera they are developing for, from which manufacturer. All they have to know is certain capabilities of this camera, and then this app can be deployed across multiple cameras from multiple manufacturers in a uniform way. And we think this will really accelerate the innovation on the software side.
You know, one interesting question, and having been in the industry for a long time and seeing it develop from a commodity-based industry to where it is today, but we still have a mindset among some of the vendors that they talk about open architecture, but it's still, when you look at their technology, it's still highly proprietary. So how do you overcome that feeling that vendors have to have that feeling of differentiation with a proprietary feature and not really embrace that open architecture?
Well, we have started initial talks with a couple of vendors, and I think what is still important for them, the ability to differentiate. But I think this ability is not in providing a vanilla operating system, but it can be on the picture quality side, it can be on specific applications. So our operating system will provide the ability, if someone wants to add specific features, have even higher security, have a higher picture quality or whatever, they can add this onto the operating system and still keep the standardized interfaces. So this will allow them to differentiate. And on the other hand, I think a lot of these guys also see the pressure that they need the latest and greatest applications.
Right.
But it's harder for them to interest an application developer to work just for their own proprietary platform than if they can work for a lot of platforms.
Very true. I mean, and you talk about the industry being ripe for an open solution. What are some of the main drivers that you see as impetus to get this really taken off?
I think it's the proliferation of IP connectivity. So almost all these cameras are now networked, either online or even if they are offline, they still have connection to a backend. It's the strong rise in computing power on the edge. It's floating point performance, it's deep learning, neural networks. So there's a lot of unused computing power on the edge. On the other hand, the demand for intelligent solutions, identify threats earlier, follow people, do a lot of things, do retail analytics, also on the commercial side, is increasing all the time.
Right.
And the last thing is, if you look at the your 4K cameras for 60 frames per second, streaming all of this over a network in full quality for many cameras is self-defeating. So we think that's another driver where more and more will happen on the edge.
I mean, you've also got the proliferation of video sourcing from destinations you've never seen before, with body-worn camera on the public safety side. So that's got to really play into that too, I would think.
And again, you might not want, if you have thousands or hundreds of officers wearing them, to stream all of this first over a network and then to start analyzing, but you might want some local intelligence that automatically can detect if there's a difficult situation or threat situation, and then maybe alert someone to actually look at it, start recording, change recording. So I think there's a lot of applications. People don't think about it, but maybe even alert them if they don't see that something is happening 50 meters away from them, and they could be alerted. A child is trying to cross the street or whatever. It doesn't always have to be a security threat.
Exactly.
And that could give them also a new way of working.
And it definitely sounds like, especially in an urban setting where we're entering into so many public-private partnerships with public safety in the private sector, that in this whole new convergence of a smart cities idea, this seems like it would be a perfect application.
Because we could also see over time that cameras could talk to other cameras even do a handover without having to go to the back end.
Right.
So I see a lot of possibilities there.
You know, give me a little idea too. You know, we've seen some of the Chinese manufacturers in the news lately with, again, some of the concerns about security and issues with their software and whatnot. How do you see this solution working with, and I'm not picking on Chinese manufacturers, but any manufacturer where there's a back-end concern with malware or issues, data being lost to nefarious sources. How does this help that problem?
I think, number one, our goal is to elevate the whole basic security level of the industry to a higher level by providing this system to anyone who wants to join the industry alliance for free. So there's no bias who can join, who cannot join, in principle. Yes, as I said, there's still the ability to differentiate. So some camera manufacturers might say we have an even higher standard, but our operating system, we think, will already raise the basic level of minimum security everybody can provide. I think that should be good for the whole industry.
5 years from now, where is this concept?
Well, in my ideal world, I think there's a lot of cameras out there with a standardized operating system with a lot of interfaces, and many new applications have come up we didn't even think about it today. And they give a lot of better usage to people that they cannot even imagine today.
Good. Very good. Hartmut, I appreciate you joining us today. This is a very fascinating subject, and I'm anxious to have you back and report on the progress of this, and we'll keep our audience updated. So for SecurityInfoWatch.com, this is Steve Lasky. We'll catch you on the next podcast.